This is Retire Strong Radio with Eric Scoggins from ETS Financial Services. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Eric provides his clients and prospects the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now here is Retire Strong Radio with Eric Scoggins.
Hello and welcome back to Retire Strong Radio. My name is Eric Scoggins with ETS Financial. If you would like more information about what you're going to hear on our show today, just give us a call at 770-904-1978. Or you can visit us online at etsfinancial.com. And hey, while you're at the website, click on that radio page to check out past shows and subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. So one thing that I've learned over my 33-year career in the financial services industry is that I've learned when it comes to retirement strategies, they vary for everybody. There is no one-size-fits-all strategy. Your retirement goals evolve as you age, obviously. These shape your financial plans as well. So at 25, retirement may not be top of mind, but at 50, it becomes a big and really significant consideration. So today, let's discuss financial and retirement strategies tailored to three key life stages: 10 years, 5 years, and 1 year out before stepping into retirement. These strategies are going to adapt as your goals and your needs change over time. But before we discuss these three important life stages, let me introduce my co-host, Mr. Tony Shore, who is still in the irreplaceable co-host period of his life.
Oh, Eric, I don't know about that. Wow, what an introduction. I mean, I'm happy to be here as always, Eric, but I can tell we're in for a great show already because your introduction alone has me intrigued about today's topic. I mean, we're talking about three stages of retirement planning. You know, we've talked about stages of retirement, but the three stages of retirement planning, I'm curious as to what each of those involves. And you went over some age categories there. Sure. That's interesting because usually we're focused on right before retirement and in retirement. So I'm looking forward to this topic. But I wanted to tell you before we jump into that, Eric, I've had a great week. I had pizza twice this week, so it's been a good week, is what I always say. But otherwise, it's great. How about you? How are you doing?
We're doing great. You know, today is it's Thursday. Tomorrow, we got a big event over at the minor league baseball team here in Georgia for the Atlanta Braves, the Strikers. Oh, wow. We got about 100 of our client family members who are going to be hanging out with and fellowshipping.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just having a big time at the ballpark together.
That's awesome. Wow, that sounds like fun. That's going to be a great event. Well, this topic is a great one. So where do you want to start with this?
Well, obviously, it's like anything in life, the longer the wait, the steeper the climb. So let's talk a little bit about first, like when you're 10 years out from retirement, obviously you still have time to plan, but now really it's time to start getting serious about constructing and pulling together a game plan. So, I've read a couple articles, and we do a lot of this, obviously, in our firm as well. But I came across a Motley Fool article that was titled Planning to Retire in 10 Years. Do these four things first. And we will cover all of those, but it's got a number of details that I found really interesting that I really want to share in today's show. So let's jump into it. So first and foremost, it says, look, if you're 10 years out, and it's pretty basic and pretty obvious, is, just go ahead and determine how much money you think you're going to need on a yearly basis to maintain your ideal retirement lifestyle. Start kind of constructing and thinking about what does your retirement vision look like? And again, there's no one answer that applies to everybody because everybody's needs and goals are going to be different. However, there's a couple of rules that you can lean on. I would call them more of guides than rules, okay? Because as I just said, they're not for everybody, but it's a great place to start. You may have heard the 80% rule. You know, so the 80% rule is something, it tends to work for a lot of people. The 80% rule is very straightforward. It just basically says, look, build your financial strategy around an income plan that gives you the ability to maintain 80% of your pre-retirement income. And that should be a good figure to start with when you're that far out. So using that percentage, obviously, it can go up or down based upon your personal retirement goals. You know, we talk in our firm about the three phases of retirement, the go-go, the slow-go, and the no-go years. You know, so maybe that first season of retirement, you know, we need more than 80%, right? Because we want to spend more during that first season when we're more active. But yeah, the 80% rule is often a solid place to begin the income planning and retirement planning process as you start thinking that far out.
Yeah. And as far as figuring out how much income you're going to need to secure that ideal retirement, working with somebody like yourself, a financial professional, is going to be really, really helpful. You have the experience to sit down with our listeners and assess their current financial picture and what adjustments they may need to make as they enter these different stages of their career and life and then retirement, right?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, and as you're thinking about that, okay, if you come up with this number, 80%, this is kind of what I'm going to be shooting for. Well, now the next thing is you got to determine, okay, how much do I need to have saved, right, to accomplish that that income goal, and have I saved enough? So, you know, after you've figured out how much money you'll need annually during your retirement, you're also going to want to maybe consider another common rule that's out there. And again, that's more of a guide than a rule, to see how large your savings really should be to accomplish that objective. So let's say, and again, this is a very, very general rule, but the 4% rule basically says if you have a diversified portfolio of investments, 50-50 stock bonds, 60-40, 40-60, you know, as long as you draw out no more than 4% of that asset base, you've got about a 90% chance of that money lasting for 30 years. So pretty good odds. And that's going to be factoring in inflation as well, and not having to worry about outliving your money. But understand, there's other things that come into play here, the sequence of return. You know, if you retire, step into retirement in that first year, we have a horrible year in the market and you're drawing money out and that account balance is going down, you know, that 4% rule may be completely gone out the window by now. But let's kind of break that down, that 4% rule. So let's say you have an income goal of $80,000 a year. Well, if you use the 4% rule, what that means is you need basically $2 million. So while most of our listeners are picking themselves off the floor right now, remember, you got to back out of what we call sure thing sources of income. Things like Social Security, pensions, if you're lucky enough to have one of those through your employer, annuity income, if you're out there trying to create your own private pension. So for example, if those sources, if you back those out, and let's say, Tony, they come to $50,000 a year, well, now from our investment portfolio, we only need to supplement $30,000 a year initially. So that would mean, no, not 2 million. We need about 750,000 in that example. So as with the 80% rule, and again, I've said this once, I'm going to say it again, I would definitely call it the 80% guideline versus a rule. The 4% guideline also is flexible to your personal situation and goals, as well as, of course, the change of the economy and things of that nature.
Sure. So, Eric, a person could use the 80% and 4% guidelines and then adapt or customize them with the help of yourself, a financial professional. And that way you could really achieve a comfortable retirement and not worry about running out of money. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So as we talk about that, you know, one of the things we just mentioned was backing out those, you know, as you're building that income plan, backing out those, quote, what we call sure thing guaranteed sources of income. So, you know, depending on how much your Social Security benefit is going to be, you know, that's going to be an important step to determine what that is. You're 10 years out now. So as we're talking, So that number is going to be different as you get closer to retirement. But go ahead, if you don't have it, log on to ssa.gov. Get, you know, create your own Social Security account if you don't have one already, and find out what your full retirement amount is going to be. And you can also review your wages and make sure that there's no errors there. There have been discrepancies in Social Security where they've got the wrong information on the income portion of what you've earned. So you want to make sure that you look into that and you discover any errors that may be there long before you get to actually turning on that benefit.
Yeah. Social Security, we've talked about that before. Social Security maximization is something you help your clients out with and can help our listeners and viewers out there. And if you need help setting up an account or you're unsure about what the numbers mean for you, again, all they have to do is give you a call, right, Eric?
Absolutely. Shoot us an email. Give us a call. We've got a step-by-step a spreadsheet we can just send to you and tell you how to log in and access that information. And if someone wanted us to run that Social Security maximization report, then we could get that done for them.
Sure. So what's next?
Well, you know, of course, you also want to double check at the stage of the ball game, which I'm sure you're probably already checking it, you know, at least quarterly, because you get statements quarterly, is what your account balances are, right? And check your current 401k elections to make sure that you're not, you know, overexposed to market risk, making sure that you're in alignment with your risk budget, as we call it. So in my experience, you know, your 401k may be one of the best reasons to build a relationship with a financial services professional, especially this far out, if you haven't done so already. It's important to stress test that portfolio to make sure that you're not overexposing yourself to risk. If we were to go through another, say, 2008-like market or Great Recession-like market, obviously you have time on your side still 10 years out. But Tony, the longer, you know, the less you fall during bear market recessions, the less you have to grow to get back to where you were. Okay, so that's really, really important. So are those investments appropriately allocated? You know, do you want to maybe be more conservative at your current age now? I don't know if you remember, Tony, the lost decade from 2000 to 2010. You know, basically the market ended where it started, right? So again, it's important 10 years out to make sure that you're properly allocated and not just blindly throwing money into a 401k. And of course, you know, finding a good fiduciary financial services professional can help give you some guidance on that overall asset allocation.
Well, yeah. And speaking of risk tolerance, you provide something to your clients to help them get a better sense of their personal feelings about financial risk and where they're at, correct?
Absolutely. We've got several tools that we can use to analyze 401k to determine one's current risk tolerance. We call one of them the color of money risk analysis. It's just a really simple, short 11-question survey that provides a tremendous amount of just essential and usable data. After a few minutes, your answers can provide a whole new level of understanding about your personal risk tolerance for yourself, as well as the advisor that you might be working with. And once you better understand your risk tolerance, obviously you can make wiser changes and wiser decisions moving forward. And then it just gives you the ability to relax and enjoy that journey to retirement.
Yeah. Well, Eric, let's take a moment here to let our listeners know, number one, how they can get a hold of you, but mainly how they can get that color of money risk analysis for themselves and a complimentary consultation to get a second opinion on where they're at. What do they need to do that?
Well, a couple of ways you can do that. You can email our office at info@etsfinancial.com and request that. And we can tell you how you can get that. You can certainly call the office at 770-904-1978. Always ready, willing, able to help. Always a smiling voice on the other side of the phone to help. And of course, you can also go to our website and request that as well. And that is etsfinancial.com.
E as in Eric. I like that. That's good. ETSfinancial.com. Great. And now let's move on into our next segment. This has been a great show so far. We've been talking about some of the key things our listeners out there may want to consider when they reach three periods before retirement. And you talked about 10 years before retirement. What's next?
Yep. So let's continue on in this, on the topic of the top things that you should consider when you're 5 years out from retirement. So, okay. First, consider when you're 5 years out from retirement, similar to the same considerations when you're a decade out. Obviously, these things, you got to keep revisiting them. But, how much money do you think you're going to need to accomplish the objectives that you want? Are you likely to need more or less during retirement than you thought you would when you were a decade away? What has changed? One thing that's hopefully has changed is the retirement war chest is much larger now than it was 5 years previously. But, remaining flexible is extremely important. Life happens, life changes. If your life's changed a lot since you were 5 years away from retirement, then you must recognize that the financial strategy you built 5 years prior, it may not work anymore. So you may have to constantly revisit, adjust, correct course and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's tough right there. So there are a lot of reasons, once again, to work with a financial services professional like yourself, but being certain that the changes that have happened in your life are represented in that plan, in your financial strategy and retirement plan, that's as good a reason as any, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, obviously knowing how much you're going to want in retirement, knowing how much you have in retirement, making sure you're allocated properly, not overexposing yourself to market risk, where you want to take reasonable amounts of risk over reasonable time frames for reasonable rates of return. Home runs and strikeouts is not a good plan. So when we think about the next things that we should be considering when we're 5 years out from retirement, determining, how long retirement's going to last. Now, Tony, I don't know if you know when you're going to die or not. I don't. But you really need to have a life expectancy projection that you want to use for planning purposes.
Yeah.
You got to be able to come up with that. In our firm, we typically will just, unless there's some major health issues or some really, really short longevity on one side of the family or really, really long longevity on one side, on the other side, typically we'll just use age 90 for a lot of folks. Just to be conservative, obviously we want to make sure that there's money left over. We don't want you running out of money before you run out of life. So when you're thinking about what do I want to use as a life expectancy age for planning purposes, just be conservative. Okay. Be conservative and think about if you're retiring at 65, and that's when you're stepping out and you've got great health. I mean, is your investment portfolio strong enough to last 25, maybe 35 years or more? Okay. So that's an extremely important part of the planning process is determining what age you would like to use for planning purposes. But, getting ready for retirement, goes beyond just the life expectancy age that you want to use and well beyond your bank account. A big one for a lot of people, and actually I'm working on a second book in addition to a revision of my first book right now. We're going to talk about this, but how are you going to fill the time that you have now when you step into retirement? When you're working, you're living in time poverty, right? Well, when you step into retirement, now you live in a time abundance. And if you don't have a game plan, like you did for your money, when you think about retirement, if you don't have a game plan for your time, how are you going to be investing that time and spending that time and using that time? You're going to wind up very bored very quickly and maybe back to work in short order after retiring if you have not kind of thought ahead about how am I going to spend my time and stay active, stay productive, because, those who retire on the front porch and in the rocking chair watching the grass grow, typically end up in that grass and not in, in fairly short order.
Yeah, so, that's the problem.
Yeah,
I think we can sometimes forget how important our work is and interaction for, you know, work is important for our social lives, the social aspect of going to work, talking to coworkers. You probably work 40 or 50 hours a week, right?
Sure.
And that's a huge chunk of your time. Well, you may not socialize a lot with your coworkers away from the office. Chances are you have some colleagues who you enjoy talking to, spending Monday through Friday with. But once you're retired, that's a huge social outlet that's gone. And that interaction, whether it's with clients, customers, friends, coworkers, you suddenly have a lot of time to fill with something or anything, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And we always make sure as we're planning with our clients is we want them to kind of share with us what their retirement vision is. You know, do you have a game plan? Do you enjoy pickleball? Maybe you're going to start walking. Maybe you're going to start going to the gym more often. Maybe you're going to volunteer with your time to your church or local charitable organizations in your community to be able to add value and to give back. You know, it's just like those ships, right, that are sitting in the harbor. They're meant to be working and out in the ocean doing their job, what they were built for, right? That ship that sits at the harbor just rust out.
Yep.
Right. And same is true with us. If we're built for productivity and if we're not out there staying active, it's not good for your mental or your physical well-being at all.
Yeah.
So we talked earlier, Tony, also about life expectancy, right? And the importance of thinking about that. The other thing that we don't want to forget when it comes to comprehensive, holistic retirement income planning is long-term care, home health care. You know, there is, at the five-year mark, you should really start thinking about this. This is an area that is really incomplete in so many people's plans that come across through our office here that we see on a weekly basis. It's not a fun topic to talk about, but again, you got to talk about it. You got to plan for it because I'm here to share with you and all the listeners. There's just not too many things out there, Tony, that can completely decimate a lifetime of diligent savings and investing than a home health care or a long-term care situation. Okay. Now, when most people think about long-term care or home health care, what do they think about first as a solution?
Yeah. Oh, for a solution for long-term care? Oh, yeah. Well, maybe in the home care or probably Medicare. They probably think Medicare is going to cover it, but it won't.
You're exactly right. That's one of the first things that people say. But when they think about, you know, outside tools to protect their own asset base, right? They think about long-term care insurance, right?
Insurance, yeah.
And that's typically not, first of all, it's not your only option. In fact, it's usually the last option that we typically look at because
it's very expensive.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a tough buy. I mean,
not and hard only, to get now, right?
You got to qualify for it medically.
Yeah.
It is very expensive. I can promise you, if you buy it, your premiums will go up on you the rest of your life. And it's use it or lose it.
Right? Yeah.
If you never need long-term care, you have nothing to show for all those premiums but canceled checks. Okay.
Yeah. So that's tough.
As you're thinking 5 years out and you're planning, there are other tools. There's newer tools to consider to help protect the asset base that you've built up versus just going out and buying a long-term care insurance policy. Okay, so for example, let me give you a couple of examples. One, there's what we call hybrid tools. So we see a lot more people going into retirement these days carrying life insurance, not term insurance, but permanent life insurance, because some of the newer life insurance policies that are available today, actually you can use the death benefit as a tax-free bucket of money for long-term care needs. Okay.
Wow.
And unlike traditional long-term care insurance, where you're paying a premium that's more than likely going to go up on you for the rest of your life, those premiums are guaranteed for life to be locked in and never go up. So that's one option. There's also what's called asset-based long-term care tools. Now, that's a tool, given an example here. So maybe you've got $50,000 in a lazy account, savings account, not doing much for you. You don't need it. You're just there in case you need it down the road, right? Well, you could take that $50,000 of lazy money in the checking or saving account, move it from pocket A, the lazy account, into pocket B, which is an asset-based long-term care tool. Now, you still have access to the $50,000. If you have to go back and pull it back, you can get your hands on it. But now, in the event of a long-term care or home health care situation down the road, that $50,000 now, based upon your health, when you qualified for it, could turn into $150,000, a tripler for tax-free long-term care insurance. So again, there's other tools out there to consider when you're thinking about protecting what you've built over your lifetime against a long-term care event down the road.
Right. And long-term care, the reason you're talking about it is so important. It's so expensive. In fact, the memory care unit at this really nice place where my mother-in-law is at is $12,000 a month. And the reason I brought up Medicare is because some people think Medicare will cover it, but it won't. Medicare does not cover long-term care. It covers up to 90 or 100 days, and that's only under certain circumstances if you move from a hospital into a particular type of care, and it cuts off at 90 days at most. So, right?
Absolutely. You're 100% spot on. And now Medicaid will cover that, but now you got to be destitute, right?
Yeah. You have to have less than, in most states, it's like $2,000 to your name and nothing else. And that's then you qualify for Medicaid. Right.
That's not the plan that we try to set folks up for.
No, it's not. And these options sound like really important things to discuss with a financial professional.
Sure. Absolutely. And finally, 5 years out, obviously, you want to be thinking, obviously, create a comprehensive list of, your expected income sources for retirement, such as what we call your sure thing sources of income, like your Social Security, right? What is that going to be? Do I have access to a pension? What are my 401ks? What are my IRAs, my annuities? Do I have rental income? And what other investments do I have to be able to generate income to cover my retirement expenses when I step into retirement?
Yeah. Yeah. And that sounds good. And you got to also calculate where your income and your expenses, right? That's important too.
Well, yeah, I've always said it, if your outgo exceeds your income, that's your downfall. Right. So You want to make sure that you have a good idea of what your fixed and variable expenses are going to be. Obviously, you're still 5 years out, so that obviously can change, but you want to know what that is. And so when you're coming up with those expenses and you've identified fixed and variable, you also want to make sure that you are accounting for taxes there also. So you want to come up with a figure net to the checkbook of what your goal is, your income goal is.
Sure.
So you don't forget to pay your least favorite uncle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go right into the next one. We've talked about the 10-year and the 5 year. So where are we at?
Well, we're 1 year out, right? So you're really, really, really short time in it here. So it's critically important to tighten up your budget. Right? Your spending plan numbers should be very accurate at this point. What are you now anticipating your retirement expenses to be? Next, review those retirement sources of income and do those balance out. Right? Will there be enough money left over to provide for, for travel and socializing and fun things that you've always dreamt of doing during your working years? Have you built a game plan for rising income? Right, to have a portion of your money earmarked, obviously that's going to be there for long-term growth, future security, future wealth, legacy planning, long-term care needs, things of that nature. So not only current income, but you got to make sure you're planning for that rising income throughout your retirement as well. So also, working with your fiduciary financial services professional, review if you have any upcoming what we call required minimum distributions, possibly maybe for yourself from maybe inherited accounts that you've received if you're not at RMD age yet, where you have to start taking money out of those qualified plans because you've deferred them to the point where you've reached what they call your required beginning date. Because if you don't take that money out, during that time period, you could be facing some pretty heavy penalties. for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the highest in the IRS tax code. The penalty, I think, for missing your RMD is like 25%. Used to be 50.
Yep.
And then they changed it to 25, but still 25% plus the taxes you'll owe on top of it. You don't want to do that.
No, no. And there's some provisions that they've actually reduced them out to a 10%. And also you can actually, request that they abate that. So there's ways around it, but honestly, you want to be ahead of that. You don't want to kind of go down that road to deal with any kind of penalty at all.
No,
you have to request an abatement.
You don't want the IRS on your back.
No. Absolutely. Yeah,
and we just came out of tax season. In fact, I've got a good one here for you. Where does a pirate pay? Who does a pirate pay his taxes to?
A pirate pays taxes to no one.
No, the IRS. Sorry, bad dad joke. Dad, that one's for the kids. All right. So, and you've talked about, we mentioned Medicare, but Medicare is a critical part of a financial strategy. And I guess 1 year out, just before you retire, a lot of people are thinking about Medicare and what they need to do, right?
Sure. Yeah. And depending on what your age is, obviously, when you get, even if you're still working, when you hit that 65, go ahead and apply for your Medicare Part A. It doesn't cost you anything. Even if you're working, it makes sense to go ahead and file for that. But it's important, if you're nearing retirement and under 65, to start really thinking about Medicare with your financial advisor. You'll be getting, pounds and pounds and pounds of mail as it relates to Medicare, Medicare supplements and things of that nature. So it's really important to work with a specialist in this area. Make sure that, because, Medicare doesn't cover everything, right? Make sure your medical providers accept Medicare. Find a plan that fits your budget and your needs. Consider maybe scheduling some elective procedures before retiring. Again, as I mentioned, as Medicare doesn't cover certain expenses like dental care and vision and things of that nature.
Yeah. And it's just that opens up a whole can of worms. So you're going to need supplemental or an advantage plan. So exactly. So what's something else that you want to really hone in on and make decisions about within a year of retirement?
Well, and in addition to the whole Medicare quandary, in our firm, we have a Medicare specialist that we, refer our clients to. They can help with all the ins and out there and just give some good guidance. So if you're kind of in that area right now thinking about Medicare, just reach out to our office and we can point you in the right direction to a Medicare specialist that can guide you there. But, another thing to consider, and again, this is not for everybody, but, it has to do with your home, right? Possibly it may be a good idea to look at refinancing possibly. I know with interest rates going up right now, might not be the right time for that. But the whole idea, if you maybe need more money in retirement, maybe even consider securing what's called a home equity line of credit. Maybe if your house is paid off and you retire, there's different lenders have different criteria once someone has retired to allow someone to qualify for, say, a home equity line of credit, maybe refinancing. If you have substantial assets, may not be a problem. But if you don't, again, before you step into retirement, that's one thing you might want to consider. Do I want to go ahead and secure a home equity line of credit? If I need funds, I could cut a check. If I needed them, I have access to them. When otherwise, if you stepped into retirement, you may or may not be able to qualify for that, either that refinancing, if that made sense at that time, or that home equity line of credit would give you access to those funds in the event that you might need them.
Yeah. And that's why you're always saying that a financial step that works well for one person might not work well for another person. And you need to work with a financial professional to figure these things out.
Of course. Yeah. And everything retirement income planning is based obviously on an individual situation, personal preferences, needs, goals. So it's really wise to sit down with your fiduciary to flesh out all of those and build a comprehensive plan that's going to get you not just to retirement, but certainly through retirement successfully.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, I think we're going to wrap up the show. I think we've covered it. Wow, a lot in the three essential retirement planning phases. Why don't you, before we go, let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you. They can get the risk analysis, the Social Security maximization report. They just need to set up a no-charge consultation with you to get a second opinion on where they're at and figure these things out, right?
Absolutely. So if you're, you know, in the area of, say, retired or maybe, you know, maybe 5 years out from retirement, feel free. Just give our office a call at 770-904-1978. Or you can simply email at info@etsfinancial.com and request that complimentary consultation. Our team does a very thorough job in terms of analysis. And you can receive those valuable reports, the Social Security Maximization Report, the Color Money Risk Analysis Report, and we can also stress test your portfolio to make sure that you're not overexposed to market risk in this season of your life, where this money that you've accumulated means more to you now than it has ever meant in your entire lifetime. So we're here to give guidance and help the people in our community. So feel free to reach out, schedule that consultation. One of our fiduciary advisors will sit down with you and walk through that information with you and point you in the right direction and see if there's just anything we can do to add value, right, to your existing plans and strategies.
Excellent. Give that phone number and web address one more time before we go.
Absolutely. It's 770-904-1978, 770-904-1978. And the web address is etsfinancial.com.
All right. And that does it for today's episode of Retire Strong with our host, Eric Scoggins.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you for listening to Retire Strong Radio. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a solid retirement plan. For more information, please contact Eric Scoggins at ETS Financial Services. Call 770-904-1978 or visit him online at etsfinancial.com. Investment advisory services are offered by First Advisors National LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Insurance products and services are offered through ETS Financial Services LLC. First Advisors National LLC and ETS Financial Services LLC are affiliated companies. Eric Scoggins and ETS Financial Services are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.